Please join me in our prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Our first reading comes from Paul's correspondence with the church at Corinth. Hear these words from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God and by our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into partnership of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Our second reading is the gospel reading and comes from the book of John, the first chapter, verses 29 through 42. I invite you to stand as you are able, either in body or in spirit. The next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the chosen one." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who had heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
Thank you, Philip. If you will, pray with me, friends. Gracious and holy God, on this Sunday, as we hear these words from Paul and the witness account of John, may they fall upon us, imbibed with your Holy Spirit, that it will move and stir within us a greater awareness of who you are, who we are, and who we are meant to be together. So may the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So for the next 5 weeks, I gave a little heads up that change is the only thing constant, right? There is nothing that stays the same, even if we desperately hold on and want it to, right? you know, with the changing of the day. If you look, I'm currently reading a book called Theo of Golden, and it's how he always takes the last 15 minutes prior to sunset and sits and watches the setting sun, and never are the sunsets the same. That every sunset is different, even though you may sit in the same place, the beauty of it is different, and it is constantly changing. And I don't know about you, but I don't like change that I didn't initiate. I'm okay with change if I'm the one that decides to make that change, but if it's change that somebody else wants to do for me or on my behalf, I'm going to dig my feet in and my heels in and fight it most of the time. It will take me a long time to finally maybe warm up to the idea. And a lot of that has to do with just inherent life experiences that I feel the safety when I can control the circumstances in which I live. Right? And I'm sure that for many of you, that when you feel you have some semblance of control, then you're able to go into situations in a different place, right? And we acknowledge that. That's our humanity. And it takes a lot of willingness for us to submit ourselves to somebody else to make decisions for us. You know, I'm thinking about the kids, and a lot of times we say, well, you need to do this. And they're like, well, why? And you say, well, because I said so. Right. And that's never a sufficient answer for the kids, because they look at you like you say that all the time and it doesn't make any more sense. I can imagine in my head, Michael, that that would be something Kelsey would say to me every day. You know, and that's one of the things, right? Be like, well, I need you to do this. Why? Well, because I said so. Well, why? And, you know, and they're like, because you need to eat and this is what we're having, right? Like, you know, and so you can kind of get caught up into that explanation. And then as we get a little older, we have more autonomy, right? We can make some decisions, and yet there is still some external guidance to how those decisions are made, either our families of origin or a beloved mentor or family friends or whoever that might be that might say, you know, as you're saying, well, I'm considering this, and they'll say, well, ultimately it's your choice, but have you considered this? Have you considered that? And you take that input in to kind of shift how you are going to embrace whatever that next decision is. And sometimes as we get older, we feel that we don't have a choice, right? That things happen outside of our circumstances and we just have to figure out what comes next. What is this going to look like for us? And there's a lot of emotions that come into that, right? That feeling of like, oh, is this really what my life is going to look like right now, right? And so as we read and we hear these scriptures, they're coming from this place of really talking about who Jesus is and who we are in relationship to Jesus, right? That Paul is writing to the church in Corinth and giving thanks for how there has been this faithfulness to the teachings that have been done, and that Paul can see how God's grace is working in that faith community in order to proclaim the good news. Now, that's the very startup. And yes, Paul later, you know, says, don't do this, don't do that, stop doing that, you know, in response to other things, and kind of gives them that instruction. But at the very beginning, we know that God's grace is something that's going to bring about change. It's going to be something that's going to bring about reformation in that community. And if we trust God's grace in that process, then those changes may be a little easier, right? And as I mentioned to the kids, you know, one of the biggest changes in our life and as it relates to how we identify ourselves or live into the world really does come from our baptisms. You know, last week we came and we baptized Tana officially into God's family, even though God's grace has been working in and through her life the whole time. And we came and touched the water to remember our own baptisms, to remember the promises made either on our behalf or promises that we made on our own and the promises made within the community at large. And that was to be water washed and spirit born, to receive the gift of God's grace, to be incorporated into the family of God, that we can proclaim the good news into the world and be co-creators with God of restoration, to bring back this perfect relationship that had been broken for so long. And as we think about Jesus's baptism, when he came out of the water, there's this beautiful image of Jesus coming out of the water, the dove, the spirit like a dove, falls, alights on him, and then we hear the voice of God. All three persons of God are there in that place, and it said, "This is my beloved Son. This is my beloved Son." And we talked last week about how those promises made in that moment also become ours, that we too hear the voice of God that says, "You are my beloved child. You are my beloved." And that becomes our core identity, being a beloved child of God, co-creators in the work that God is doing in the world. And yet that identity sometimes is hard to live into because the world will define it in one way, and yet God's grace holds us to a different standard, a different way of being. And we hear in this continuation that John recounts this experience of the baptism of Jesus, and we hear the Lamb of God. I mean, how many different names are used to describe Jesus in that short passage? Behold the Lamb of God, the Messiah, the Son of God, right? Rabbi, teacher, all of these things that become the identity of Jesus that then also become part of our identity. Right? And then the work begins. So our baptisms is not a stopping point. It is not the culmination of our life. Rather, it is the launching point into the work and ministry. And that's when we hear the calling of the first disciples. And depending on which gospel you go to, the order in which they are called are different, right? In this case, it's Andrew, who then goes and finds his brother, right? And then you had James and John. And at the very end, Jesus acknowledges Simon to be known as Cephas, that is Peter, that later we know him as the rock, right? The rock, the solid foundation upon which the church is. And anytime we come to scripture where there is a shift in a name, names matter. That there is a shift in the story and the shift in the identity of Peter specifically, and on these disciples that, yes, they were fishermen, and yet now, having been called by Jesus, they are so much more. Do you ever think about how when you have been claimed and named by God, that you yourself are so much more? And if we do think of us as being so much more, how does that help us fight against those places where we are called things that may not be true, kind, or hopeful from the world? It's hard, particularly right now in a season where you say, "I've been baptized into the family of God. I am a beloved child of God. I follow Jesus Christ. I am a Christian." And that word in and of itself is a lightning rod in today's world, because we don't all agree about what that identity is looking like or identified or defined as. Because people seem to have different definitions for that word. And I struggle with that. because sometimes the actions of individuals speak a different reality than the truth of being a beloved child of God. And that's where we get into trouble. That's where our witness in the world falls short. That's where oftentimes they'll say, well, you go to church, but you're such a hypocrite because what you do doesn't reflect a faith, a trust in God. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be on that side of things. Right? I want to remember to come to touch that water. To remember that it is God's grace that is working in my life, in your life, in our collective lives, that we are water washed and spirit born to bear a true identity into the world of the triune God. It harkens us back to the creative narrative of let us create humanity in our image. In our image, let us create our beloved. Friends, the root of our identity, the root of our image is one of love, compassion, grace, mercy, and truth. Do we claim that identity? Do we get up and look in the mirror and say, you're a beloved child of God? Do y'all remember that place of the book and the movie, The Help, where what was the mantra that, you know, she taught? You is kind, you is smart, you is beautiful. Important. You is kind, smart, and important. Okay, thank you. I should check my references. But y'all know it, right? Like, do y'all ever get into the world and, wake up and look in the mirror and be like, you is kind, you is smart, you is important? Or do you ever get to the mirror and say, you are a child of God, and I'm going to live it that way today? I had, have y'all ever been suggested to get a sticky note, things that you need to remind yourself of and put them in the places that you see on a daily basis? Like, you're going to, well, I'm going to, hopefully you brush your teeth every day. And, you know, when you do, you are a child of God. You are loved. You matter. You carry my light into the world. You are a beautiful, beloved person created in the image of the divine. That is your identity. Claim it, name it, and live it. And maybe today that's what we need to remember, that change is hard. But changing into this truth is lined with grace, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and founded in trust in the love of God. Today, may we remember our identities claimed and named by the triune God through our baptisms, water washed and spirit born to live that truth into the world. And y'all, if you do that, then you will be able to deflect all of the other things people will want to claim and call you. Does that make sense? And your superpower is your baptism and the grace of God. Thanks be to God for a love like that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.